Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. We have some really exciting news on KMOX that, you know what, I'm sure you've heard, but just in case you missed it, I'm going to go over it again. Starting Monday, March 24th, KMOX will still be broadcasting on 1120 AM as we have for nearly 100 years, but we will also be simulcasting on 104.1 FM. So this is really exciting stuff. We're going to have a crystal clear FM signal that reaches so far. AM is great. I'm honored to be on KMOX, but sometimes we do get complaints, especially people in the city are like, it's just a little fuzzy. It's just not what I'm used to. Well, on FM, it's going to be a clearer signal, and we're just going to have a lot more reach as of Monday, March 24th. So this coming Monday, really exciting stuff. And I hope you guys will tune in. Check out the new signal. Maybe you'll want to stick with 1120. Who knows? But the new signal might work a little bit better for your routine. Okay, I'm so excited about my guest this week. Her name is Ida Adeh. And, you know, I saw her, St. Louis Magazine put out a list of like musicians you should be watching in 2025. And I saw Ida on the list and she caught my eye. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to check out her latest EP. It's called The Unbreakable Ida Adeh. Downloaded the EP, immediately became obsessed with it, obsessed with her. I think she's so cool. And luckily she said she would come on the show. So I got to do an in-depth interview with her. We talk about music. We talk about mental health. It's a really great conversation and it's going to start right now on The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Ida Adeh is a singer, a songwriter, a producer, so much more. She joins me in studio now. Ida, thank you so much for coming down to KMOX. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's get started by talking about your sound. Tell my listeners, you know, kind of what they can expect if they start listening to you.
If you start listening to me, you can expect a lot of different sounds put into one. I was raised in a household that listened to all kinds of music. And so my music is really, I call it like a little hodgepodge of everything. My mom loved disco. She loved neo soul. And my stepdad was a drummer. My dad loved rap. My big brother loved rap. So I've just grew up around a ton of different music. So it's kind of just all compiled into one.
Very cool. Yeah, I've seen your music described as eclectic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've told you, I was fangirling on our way to the interview here saying like The Unbreakable Ida Adeh, like that EP is so good, but it is an eclectic sound. I wouldn't be able to just pin it down and be like, oh, it's this genre. You've got a lot going on.
Yeah, definitely have a lot going on. I was also classically trained as a violinist and violist, so there's a lot of classical elements that also help me kind of build and arrange a song, too. So a lot of my different musical experiences have kind of melted it together to create whatever I make.
So tell me about yourself growing up. You said you're surrounded by music, different kinds of music. What was it, though, that got you super interested in music?
I've been interested in music since I was probably born. My mom is a huge music person. My family is very much into music. Her dad was a jazz pianist. Her siblings play drum, piano. So music has just kind of always been a part of my life. I think I first started my own music journey in third grade, though. I had gotten in trouble at school. We were just trying to find some things that kind of kept me interested and kept me moving. And I found orchestra. And I don't know what it was. That lady came in and played. Her name was Dr. Davis. I will never forget her. Like, she came in and she played the violin. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I started playing violin and viola. I switched over to viola in fourth grade. And I've been playing ever since. I didn't start singing, though, until the end of college. So around 2016. And honestly, I just kind of picked it up one day and just started going and haven't stopped since.
Well, you have a great speaking voice and a great singing voice, but I'm surprised you didn't start singing a little earlier.
I sang like in my room, but I never really thought about like being a singer. I went through this thing. I wouldn't even say it's a phase. I went through loving emo rock and like Fall Out Boy was like, oh my God, I was obsessed. Oh, yeah. And so I was like, one day I'm going to be a rock star. But I never even thought about singing. I was just like, I know I want tattoos and like a nose ring. And so I just really thought that I was going to be a rock star one day. And I never even thought about how I would be. Because I'm like, you play violin and viola. Like, they're not rock stars.
Did you ever listen to Yellow Card? I think they had an electric violin.
They did. Yeah. And when I got into Yellow Card, I was like, oh, so I can do. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the violin a little bit, though. I think a lot of kids have that experience, like the first time they see someone play it, they're like, I want to play the violin. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say that any instrument is easy to play, but it's always been my perception that the violin is like particularly difficult. Would you agree with that?
I do agree. Violin was a lot. But once I kind of got the fundamentals down, I also had a really phenomenal teacher. Dr. Davis, literally, like, there was nothing that I could not do without her support. Like, she literally would walk you through, but she was tough too. Mm-hmm. So having someone like that in my corner, and just like coming from a music background too, where like my parents made sure I had an area downstairs. My dad was a musician, so I got to use that area to make sure that I could practice. And then I got into playing things by ear. Like, I was like, I like classical music, but I want to do a little bit more. So I ended up starting to play two different songs, and that kind of helped me with getting my fundamentals down and ultimately helped me be a good classical musician as well.
Really cool. Okay, so we were also talking before the interview, you're also a trauma therapist. What led you to that line of work?
So when I went to college, I wanted to go to college for music initially, but couldn't really find how I wanted to go about that. And so I ended up doing an education program. My family is also full of educators. My mom is an educator. All of my aunts are educators in some way. And so I was like, okay, I'll go into education. I started teaching in St. Louis Public Schools when I was 22.
Wow.
I hadn't even graduated college yet before I got hired. And so I was like, oh, I'm thrust into this world of like, okay, understanding that, yes, they need the education, but a lot of my kids were dealing with trauma and a lot of my kids were dealing with behaviors that were outside of their control. They're seven, you know, yeah. So they don't really understand what they're doing. They're communicating the best way they can. And so I wanted to go into therapy because I wanted to kind of mix education and therapy together to see how we can put more mental health practices in the classroom to make sure that our kids were getting reached a little bit better.
Wow. How do therapy and music intersect for you?
Everything I do is based in music and the arts. So as a therapist, I practice expressive arts therapy. So we might do songwriting, we might do breakdown of lyrics, we might do art, we might do drawing, we might do dancing, but music is always that foundation. Like, we will do our meditation before opening up an activity, we will have some type of sound. I really believe in the science of how music affects our body, our mood, and how we process, and so I try to incorporate it in almost every single session I have.
I'm talking with Ida Adeh. She's a singer, a songwriter. She's also a trauma therapist. Since we're talking about mental health and the work you do there, let's talk about how its themes show up in your work, in your music. I just from listening to your EP, The Unbreakable, Ida Adeh, it shows up a lot.
It does.
So tell me about how that influences you.
Mental health. As a teen, I struggled with a lot of mental health. And as a young adult, I struggled with a lot of kind of depressive symptoms. And so as I got older and got into doing music, it became my outlet. And because it was my outlet, music kind of just married very well with the mental health. And I find that the music that I create is always a portrait of what my life actually is. So the song Unbreakable on my EP, it was me coming to a place of like, oh, wait, I can do it. Like, I'm okay. And so going through those themes, mental health really is kind of the biggest theme of what I do. I just want people to understand that, like, mental health is so important, and it's nothing that no one in the world has not dealt with before. Like, you're not alone in dealing with it. We all go through it. I don't want to ever portray, like, oh, I'm this perfectly happy, bubbly person. Like, no, we all have struggles. And I think music is a really good way to help people understand, like, you're not alone in anything that you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing I noticed on the EP is you'll kind of, I don't have like a specific lyric to point to, but you'll kind of like pose like, here's what's going on with me mentally, and then you'll kind of answer yourself and give yourself some comfort there.
Definitely. It shows up a lot in especially that song Unbreakable. It is like, okay, the lyric starts off with, I've been riding around with my head down. And it really is like I'm just going through life, like just head down, like just trying to figure everything out and really getting to a point where now I'm having conversations with myself about who I am as a person. What do I value and how do I show up in the world?
What do you think gives you the courage to approach these topics and to be so vulnerable?
Honestly, lived experience and the people that I work with. I'm honored to be a therapist that people trust with their life story. And in that, I think becomes a responsibility to also face my own life story. And seeing people be able to come into a session and be like, hey, I'm dealing with A, B, and C, C, D, E, all the way to Z. And sometimes we double the alphabet to get through what people are going through. It really inspires me to face my own story.
Mm. Do you ever come across an emotion and you go, okay, maybe this one isn't for a song? Or do you kind of draw from everything?
I will say I draw from everything, but everything that I've created is not out. Some things are for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a beauty in having a private self and a public self. I get to choose what my narrative is, and I'm very adamant about being kind of more, not necessarily in control, but for lack of better words, in control of what I put out. Because I also think about, okay, if I put this song out that's about A, B, and C, will I have to talk about it? Am I ready to talk about it? Is it something that I'm ready to share with everyone? And so there's a lot of folders in my computer that are specifically just for me. And that's okay. And I really encourage other people too, like even as artists, we don't have to share everything. You're allowed to reserve some things for yourself, especially if you don't know if you're in the space to really open up more about them.
All right, guys.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
That's not all. I have much more with Ida Adeh coming up on The Rachel Zimmerman Show. Keep your radio on KMOX. Hey guys, thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show. I'm talking with Ida Adeh. She is a singer, a songwriter, a producer, a trauma therapist. She really does it all and she has so much to say. I love this interview. Here's part two of it now.
Yeah, it was. You did an interview with the Post-Dispatch last year. I think this is the article I was reading, and it was saying you have over 500 unreleased songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're writing all the time.
I am writing all the time. It's how, honestly, music is the way that I process every experience. We all take in our experiences through our five senses. Mine just happens to come out through music. There's not another way that I feel I can adequately express myself outside of music. So anytime I experience something, like even if someone just makes me mad, like there are songs about like being upset at work and like any minor inconvenience or any minor thing that happens that makes me happy, I will probably go write about it.
It's interesting because you hear about people who like write books, for example. They say like you have to write every day, even if it's terrible, just get it out.
Yeah.
Do you have that too, where you're like, man, that wasn't very good, but at least I wrote something?
Absolutely. Listen, every song is not going to be great. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It's just, for me, it's all about being able to experience and being able to share my experience.
Yeah. And I guess that goes back to, you know, music and therapy really intersecting there is like the process is a therapy in and of itself.
I think, honestly, the process is the therapy. That's where the work happens. The finished product is kind of like, oh, OK, cool. I got something. But it's the process of creating and kind of sitting with that emotion and really listening to your body on what that emotion means and what it's bringing that's kind of where the process and the therapeutic strategy and things happen.
Maybe that's why I'm so drawn to your work, is because I think a lot of times people feel an emotion and then their instinct is like, oh, I need to hide from this, like, yeah, make this go away. But no, you're very much just, let's go through it.
Yeah, like that. The only way to get through it is to get through it. Mm-hmm. I think we spend a lot of time trying not to face emotions or being afraid of our different emotions. But our emotions are put there for a reason. They're our protectors. They're meant to be there. They're there to help us get through every situation. If we are moving without emotion, then, I mean, there's no plot line. There's nothing. So our emotions are so important, and I'm in love with all of mine, even the ones that are not as pretty. They all serve a purpose. So it really is like, and I got that from my therapeutic training, like, let's sit with this emotion. Like, what is this emotion trying to tell me? My emotions are like little people. I know that sounds crazy, but like, mm-hmm. They're like little people. Like, what are you trying to tell me? Why am I so triggered right now? Why am I so upset? Why am I angry? What's happening that's bringing that out of me?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's so wise, too, because you hear about, like, you know, anger is like a secondary emotion. It's because something else is going on. But so many of us don't take the time to explore that. So I really appreciate that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Anger is probably my favorite emotion to work with, honestly, because it's so telling. We even do like an anger family tree. Like, OK, anger may be at the top, but who are all of anger's children? Mm. And what's feeding into anger? And how can we work with anger so that we're addressing all of these other needs?
Yeah. I'm talking with Ida Adey. Sorry. She is a singer, songwriter, producer, therapist. You have so much going on. We've been talking about your writing process and the fact that you do write every day. You write a ton. I'm wondering, though, what gets you excited about writing? Like, what makes you go like, oh, I can't wait to get home and jot this down?
I will honestly say I really don't wait till I get home.
Really?
I honestly don't care where I am. If something comes up and I'm like, ooh, I need to write that down, I'll go write it down and do like a little voice note and then come revisit it later. Something about writing just feels like letting go. It's very releasing. Like, it kind of just calms my spirit to just kind of let things go. And I am a firm believer in like experiencing and letting go. I don't ever want to hold on to things longer than I need to, and then I'm not able to experience where I am now in this moment. So writing is really my way of just kind of letting things out, letting them go, and accepting where things are, and then being able to move along so I can continue to experience life.
So writing is the first step. Then you get to perform. Tell me what you love about performing.
Oh my gosh, performing. Performing and I have a love-hate relationship.
Okay.
I love performing because I love to share the energy with people. Like, I absolutely love it. Performing is also one of my biggest stressors.
Really?
Yeah. I tend to be a more laid-back, observant kind of person. I'm not very outgoing or loud-spoken. So when it is time to perform, I have to kind of like, okay, girl, like, go put on your big girl hat. Like, yeah, it's time to go out there and like really share this experience with people. So performing and I, we have a very kind of relationship, mm-hmm. But I do love that I get to share these songs with people and seeing people react and experience in real time. It's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah,
it really is.
I definitely relate to that because, I mean, doing radio, people assume you're an extrovert. It's like, oh, you talk to people, you're on the mic all the time. And it's like, not necessarily.
Yeah.
And there are times you really have to psych yourself up and kind of shift into that gear of like, okay, I have to go into like social mode now.
Definitely.
Which is not my natural state.
Definitely. I will like spend my day doing nothing just to charge my social battery. Because I also know like after the show, I'm going to go talk to people. I'm going to want to be around other people. I will also say I have a really great band that plays with me. They're called the Daruba Collective, and like they are tough on me but very loving, and they'll be like, girl, come on, like, mm-hmm. Like, I'm really nervous. They're like, girl, go sing songs. And I'm like, okay.
what's your energy level like, you know, you talk about like kind of charging up all day to get ready for that, mm-hmm. What's your energy level like the day after a performance? Are you kind of depleted? Are you kind of like, I'm so exhausted?
No, to be honest, it's the complete opposite. Like, I am like supercharged. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I really did that. Like, I'm very proud of myself because I've always been one to kind of try and fall into the background. So now experiencing being like in the forefront is just like, okay, girl, you doing it. Like, it's very exciting, honestly, afterward.
So you're a producer, too. Tell me about how you started producing. I think that's so interesting.
To be honest, I don't even think I knew I was producing.
Okay.
I would play something and I'd be like, ooh, I hear this sound. Oh, this would be nice over it. And then it kind of turned into its own thing. But I really don't think I ever got into producing. I think because I was classically trained, I'm used to being taught how to arrange. Mm-hmm. And so it honestly just came that way. Like, it just felt second nature. I didn't think anything of it. I honestly just started saying, like, oh, yeah, I do production.
Okay.
Because it was just something that was taught to me, I guess. And it was just something that happened.
Yeah, just innate, because you are classically trained, mm-hmm. you understand music. That makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
So every time I introduce you or reintroduce you, like we have to do in radio, I'm like, she's a singer, she's a songwriter, she's a producer, she's a drama therapist. How do you balance everything, Ida? How do you remain focused?
Oh, man. One, I see a therapist on my own.
Okay.
To make sure that I'm seeing blind spots. I mean, I'm human, so I deal with all of my emotion and all of those things. But I think, honestly, in staying balanced, I am learning how much energy I want to give to certain things. So I only have 100% energy every day, sometimes not even that. And I really have to be like, okay, girl, like, how much do you really have today? Like, can you really give? Is your therapy going to be 100% today? If not, that's cool. You got paperwork to do. Like, are you 100% able to give to this music? Like, oh, you party a little too much and now you have no voice. So, like, maybe you're 80% here today and 20% over there. I think the beauty in balancing is that I don't think balance really exists. I think we just kind of learn how to roll with ourselves and kind of allocate energy day by day.
Mm.
Sometimes minute by minute, if it need be.
So we talked about, you know, you performing and the feelings you get prior to a performance, after a performance. I'm wondering, when it comes to venues, what kind of venues do you like? What around here are you like, oh, I can't wait to go play that room?
Oh, my God. I want to play Jazz St. Louis so bad. I love that room. It is very swanky, for lack of better words. But I love venues where people can get a full experience. So, like, when you talk about an Ida show, I want it to be like the food was good, the drinks were good, the vibe and the energy was good, the sound system was good, and oh, that girl went and sang her to, like, I want it to be a full experience. So I really love venues where you can have a multi-sensory experience. If you can't tell, in therapy I do a lot of things based on sensory input. And so when I create these experiences, I really want it to be centered around the different senses. Like, what are people going to be seeing? Let's make sure the stage is decorated. I brought, like, giant letters to the art museum. What can people smell? Is this venue going to be something that smells a little off? But honestly, Jazz St. Louis is probably my number one right now that I would love to play at. And one day in my life, I would love to play at Powell Symphony Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. With, like, a full orchestra experience. So if you guys hear me.
Let's talk about your influences. You know, you talked about, you know, how your family influenced you and showed you so many different types of music. Mm-hmm. And your sound is very a hodgepodge, as you said. Like, who, and you mentioned Fall Out Boy. Who are some of your other big influences?
Outside of Fall Out Boy, there is Erykah Badu. I absolutely love Erykah Badu. My mom played Erykah Badu so much. Anita Baker, definitely. My mom is also a huge Anita Baker fan. Fleetwood Mac is something that's been big for me. I love Stevie Nicks' songwriting. I just love how they work together. They just sound so cohesive. I also really love reggae and dancehall music. So there's an artist named Chronix from Jamaica who is, like, I can't even put into words the love I have for him. And then probably Stephen Marley. One of Bob Marley's sons.
Okay.
His songwriting is just very calm, cool, collected. And then finally, Leanne LaHavis, who is a singer-songwriter out of the UK, who I'm just, like, obsessed with.
Any new music you're listening to right now? Or, like, what's on the rotation when you get in the car?
Oh, rotation in my car is wild right now. I listen to everything, so right now, I am listening to, on repeat, Leanne LaHavis has an album that released in 2020, and it's been in heavy rotation for me since 2020. She covered Radiohead's song Weird Fishes, and oh my God, it is so beautiful. And then the band that I work with, the Daruba Collective, they also have a rendition of Weird Fishes, and I took a video of it. So in my car, I will literally go listen to that. I'm also listening to a lot of Erykah Badu, Stephen Marley, and randomly I've been into go-go music right now and house music and disco, which is really coming out as we record this new project. You can hear a lot of the disco influences with the strings and the way that we build the beat, so...
I definitely want to talk about this new project in a second. It's funny you bring up Weird Fishes. In Rainbows is like one of my favorite albums ever.
Really?
And it's such an incredible song.
It really is.
Let's talk a little bit about St. Louis, the music scene. Mm-hmm. What do you love about it? Is there anything you hate about it? Just kind of give me the lowdown.
Yeah. I love St. Louis's music scene because there are so many... For a smaller city, we have so many different artists in so many different genres. And I really enjoy exploring all of it. Like, you will find me at people's shows. Like, I love going to shows. I love seeing everybody do well with their music and everything. I think the only drawback is that because we're a smaller city, I do wish we had more venues. And I wish that we had kind of more traction for some of the not as popular genres. Because there are so many artists out here. There are so many beautiful jazz musicians in St. Louis that I wish we would just like throw into a spotlight. Mm-hmm. Like if I could just throw them in the air and shine a light on them. Like there's just so much beautiful music being made. It's just sometimes it's hard to find it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is so you've lived in St. Louis your whole life, right? Mm-hmm.
Sort of, yeah.
Did you go to Mizzou for college?
I went to Missouri State University.
Missouri State,
yeah.
Okay. What was your college experience like?
It was different. Okay. It was a lot different from St. Louis. I had a lot to learn, but I will say one of the biggest things that came out of that, like, I love country music now.
Really?
Yes, Springfield is really big on country music, and, like, just kind of got into it that way, and EDM, randomly.
It's quite a mix.
Yeah, quite a mix. Very quite a mix. But I will say, like, I kind of mark my experiences based in music, so that's kind of like the thing that stands out most to me from living in Springfield. In college, I also got to study abroad in Jamaica.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and the first EP I released is called Blue, and it's named after Bluefields, Jamaica, which is the area that I stayed in, and the album cover is from the house that I lived in, which was right across the street from the beach, and it was at that time in Jamaica that I was like, I want to be a musician. And I had sang at like a karaoke, and all of the people who were there who were from Jamaica who were helping us, they were like, oh my gosh, you don't make music? And I'm like, no. They're like, why? Do it now. And I'm like, okay. And just seeing like people just kind of living more of a calm, laid back lifestyle where they're just kind of doing what they like to do, that was a huge influence for me. So
yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, you know, speaking of St. Louis, you did leave for a while to be in Jamaica. What does this region mean to you, you know, outside the music scene?
St. Louis is, I made a joke the other day and I was like, every day is 314 day for me here. Mm-hmm. Like I love my city. One of the first songs I wrote was called Home, and it was just talking about the differences in growing up in St. Louis versus being an adult in St. Louis. I was born on the north side. My entire family is from the north side. The house that I grew up in is the house my mom grew up in until my mom and I moved out in North County. But even still, it's just my entire family's legacy on both sides is St. Louis. St. Louis is just my home. Like, I don't know how to explain outside of like, this is my home. This is the place that I love the most. This is the place that I want to see succeed more than anything.
Yeah. And I think St. Louis wants to see you succeed for sure.
Yeah. That's been great.
you brought up the cover of your first album. I know radio is not a visual medium, but I am wondering, like, how do you decide on your album art? Because it is really beautiful.
Thank you. To be honest, I don't even know about that.
Like, yeah.
That process, it just kind of is like what feels good and what matches the sound. Like, I love when we can put our senses together. Like, Blue, when I recorded that with Cartoons on Saturday and on in those songs, it felt very relaxed. It felt very calming. And so when I was going through, I was just honestly flipping through like my pictures, and I was like, dang, I miss Jamaica so bad. And I was like, oh, I love this picture. And it just became the album art, and it became the name of my project. And I was like, wow, like this experience really brought me here to being able to even make this. And so I wanted to make sure that I was paying homage to that area and those people, because even to this day, I still talk to them, and they are really great people who have been supportive. I've even gotten to perform down there. Oh, they like cool. helped me get down there, and like, it's just been a beautiful experience. With the Unbreakable Ida Day, the couch that is in there is a couch that belonged to an aunt who passed away. And she was one of my biggest supporters, one of my closest friends. Mm. She was like a mom to me, because I grew up in a 4-family flat with my aunts and my mom. Mm. And when she passed, I took a lot of her furniture, because she was very into decorating. Mm. She's a very sophisticated lady. And so when I took the furniture, the couch kind of sat for a while. And one day I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do a photo shoot. And so I did it. And like when I actually took a video of me just doing random poses. And when I saw that pose, I was like, this feels powerful. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel strong in this picture. And so that's how that became the art for the Unbreakable Ida Day.
So we've talked about Blue. We've talked about the Unbreakable Ida Day. Let's talk about this new project you're kind of teasing a little
yeah.
bit. I know you said you're still kind of riding the high of this last EP. Mm. But tell me about what people can expect to come out in a little bit here.
Oh, I'm really excited about this project. So this is going to be my first kind of full-length album. I'm creating it with the Daruba Collective, and it's amazing. They are amazing musicians, so it's what I hear. They're able to just crank it out. Mm-hmm. The sound of this album, it's going to be more reminiscent of Blue, my first EP. That's kind of when I felt most myself. It's very eclectic. A little bit all over, but in a very cohesive way that kind of represents me perfectly. The theme of this album, it's about the emotion of love and how it's kind of guided a lot of decisions that I make, whether it be a healthy romantic love, unhealthy, a friendship, family, self-love. It's all about the way that love has helped me kind of navigate through becoming who I am today.
Very nice. We only have a couple minutes left. Would you play me something?
Sure.
That'd be amazing.
Absolutely.
And what is this song that we're going to hear?
This song is called On and On. It is from the EP Blue. It was like my first kind of mental health song that I wrote. And so it's, and I wrote it for my aunt who passed. And it was just, yeah, it's an experience.
Awesome.
Winter's come and winter's gone. Spring brought flowers to the yard. Summer gave me a golden tint. Leaves hit the ground as autumn went. And guess what I'm trying to say? I'm getting better every day. Cause everything just moves along. Time didn't stand still to heal us. And I moved on and on and on and on and on. I've grown, I've grown, I've grown, I've grown, I've grown. On and on and on and on and on and on. And I've grown. What'd you say when you were here? Everything just felt so clear. And I heard every word you said. I just chose me instead. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm getting better every single day. Cause everything just moves along. Time didn't stand still to hear us. So I moved on and on and on and on and on. I've grown. On and on and on and on and on and on. And I've grown. I've grown.
Wow.
Thank you.
I'm really honored that you played that. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
So we have to wrap up. Unfortunately, yeah. We're running out of time. How do people find you? How do people hear your music?
You can find me anywhere. It's A-I-D as in dog A. Last name is A-D as in dog E. I'm on Spotify, YouTube, Instagram. Type me in Google and Googleable, guys.
Ida Adey, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. I certainly did. Ida Adey is amazing. I did want to let you guys know that she has a couple of performances coming up if you'd like to go catch her. She'll be at the Dark Room on April 4th. She'll also be at Earth Day Festival on April 27th. You can learn more about both of those events by going to her website, idaadey.com. That's AIDAADE.com. If you'd like to learn more. If you missed any part of the conversation, make sure to podcast the show on the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You guys, I am so happy to be here. I'm so happy you listened to the show, and I can't wait to bring you another episode next week. Hope you have an amazing weekend. Bye.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.